The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Jess Kelly, News Talk's tech correspondent, is taking over quite. Does this mean I can put my feet up, by the way? Because I see this as 15 minutes to myself.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? In the near future, maybe I can too, thanks to AI. And that is exactly what we're going to talk about today. Because, Jono, you and I have talked about this. Kieran and I have talked about this. Everyone in the world has talked about this. We're all talking about AI and how it's going to impact our industries, our day-to-day lives, our productivity. But I, being Little Miss Sunshine, have been wondering about the impact of AI on death.
Oh, well, what a cheerful way to start the segment.
I'm here. So look, over the last number of years, I've had a number of people email me asking, what do they do when a loved one passes away and they don't have access to their phone, to their photographs, to their iTunes library, whatever it may be. And it is a complex area. We know that companies like Meta have put measures in place. So, for example, if you have a Facebook profile, you this afternoon can go in and you can appoint what's called a legacy contact. And that means that when you pass away, your appointed legacy contact will be able to gain access to your profile, put it into either a memoriam page or remove it entirely. So they basically have control of your digital life. We know that iTunes, for example, which was very popular back in the day, you might have bought some songs, you might have bought some movies. We know that when you pass away, that catalogue dies with you. It can't be passed on because you've bought one specific license. But an area that I've been intrigued by over the last little while is AI. So there's been a lot of talk about grief bots, for example.
Okay.
So there's been instances where certain people have turned to the likes of ChatGPT for counselling or to be consoled when a loved one passes away. But there's also been examples of AI platforms that allow you to upload, whether it's a loved one's voicemail or maybe a voice memo from them, and they can turn that into a chatbot.
Okay, now we are moving into the realm of exceptionally creepy.
Yeah. And it's very uncomfortable. There's other platforms that will allow you to upload, say, your entire WhatsApp chat with a loved one or with a friend or whomever. And it can learn from that behaviour and become a chatbot.
An awful lot of smiley-faced emojis for me, to be fair, because I'm such a happy person on WhatsApp, as you well know.
It's because you're so middle-aged, Jonathan. That's the reason. The smiley face and the thumbs up, that's it. That's all we get from Jono.
And a passive-aggressive thumbs up from me occasionally.
Yeah. That's it.
I mean, that bot will not be busy. But the point of this, I mean, the one I'm thinking of is poor old, the late, great Michael Parkinson, long since gone from this world. And all of a sudden he's starting doing TV shows again.
Yeah, this was the one that made me really uncomfortable. I actually heard one of the producers of the podcast on with Anton a number of months ago now. But there's a new podcast, well, it's newish, called Almost Parkinson. And it's produced by an external production company alongside Michael Parkinson's son. And what they've done is fed in, exactly as I said there, fed in some audio, some excerpts from Michael Parkinson, fed it through a chatbot, and now Almost Parkinson does interviews with famous people. You can go on YouTube and watch snippets of it, and it's so bizarre because it is Almost Parkinson. It has that little voice, you know, he had sort of an almost croak to his voice. He had a certain way, he had his pauses that he used to take mid-question, but now it's been formed into AI. And it did get me thinking about what happens to us when we die and our digital lives.
You have taught me a lot over the years about the settings on your social media, mm-hmm. right? And we've talked a lot about how we have become the commodity for social media as opposed to the other way around. How much of our personality, how much of us is being hoovered up now by these mega corporations? And what might they do with that when we shuffle off the mortal coil?
Well, this is it. Like, if you have public social media, if you have any form of public online profile, chances are your data, your turns of phrase have already been utilised to train AI. But what I'm more concerned about now is how your family, how your friends, how the people that you hang out with in the pub might use your likeness if and when you die. It's a when you die, not if you die. But
do you remember in Futurama they had the jars and the heads in the jars?
Yeah. We're very close to that, Jonathan.
Very close to it, yeah.
Yeah, and so I have been doing a bit of digging into this, and it seems to be, surprisingly or unsurprisingly enough, still a grey area. And I do wonder if we will get to the stage where we will need to write into our wills, I do not consent to being utilised as some form of AI chatbot. I do not want my likeness being used as a personal chatbot or for any, you know, public reasons or anything like that. Think of famous people. Think of, like, look at what's happened to Michael Parkinson. There are other very prolific examples in this country and abroad where you could imagine the value and the monetization that could come from the utilization of a famous voice or likeness through an AI bot.
But and you're left with your family trying to kind of shut the door after the horse has bolted with your coffin attached to it. So is there anything we can do proactively at this point?
It is something that I think, and now look, it's not the cheeriest topic to think about in a Wednesday evening, but I do think, just like we need to consider what happens to our social platforms when we pass away, it is worth thinking about what you would want to happen in terms of AI creation. So whether that is clearly stating that you don't consent or you want to prohibit entirely the creation of an AI model based on you or your data, giving control and access of your social platforms to a legacy contact. And then I do think the legislation is going to have to catch up. There are going to be the families and the estates of very famous people who will object to managers and agents and all the rest trying to exploit this. It's Futurama. You mentioned Futurama. It's something from the Jetsons. It's something from Black Mirror.
Yeah.
But they are conversations that need to be had now, because there will be a landmark case that comes along that causes a big hoo-ha, and then we all have to react. So you're better off thinking about these things on a nice, warm-ish Wednesday evening in June.
Well, I mean, look, let's face it, I'm not that interesting, right? There's nobody
Correct.
Going to be rushing to recreate me when
Absolutely.
I'm dead.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, I would hate for my future AI self to be hawking mattresses, right? Because someone thought, you know, he looks like a fella who'd enjoy a good mattress. So it could impact anybody.
Yeah, no, and look, Jonathan, and this is very inside baseball now, but your voice is one of the tools that you use. If you something happened to you in the morning, I, as one of your nearest and dearest, I'm sure, could then claim rights.
Yeah.
Finish your thought.
You could be hawking tellies. That's what you're telling me.
I could be hawking tellies. I could be writing scripts. I could have you chucking out absolutely anything. In fact, I might take this on as a mission and try and turn you in to an AI before the end of the week. See if I can do it. See what I can have you selling. Because I guarantee you, you will not be happy.
You'll have it for 50% of the takings, right? We'll split it straight down the middle.
Sweet.
Yeah. Anyway, you have your tech tip.
Yeah, my tech tip, coming into the summer months, I know kids are finishing up school, parents are going to be doing the juggling, particularly parents who are working and trying to mind the kids and doing the balancing. They'll be answering emails at all hours of the day. Then they'll have the guilt of sending an email at like 11 o'clock at night and then a colleague sees it maybe midnight and you get the fear and the panic. My top tip is to avail of the schedule send. No matter what email provider you use, you can schedule send your emails. That way then you can work when it suits you, but you're not going to give the fear of whatever to your colleagues by sending emails at 2 or 3 in the morning. So use the schedule send. It's very easy. It's very reliable. And it just keeps everybody happy to work within the hours that suit them.
I have never kind of felt the need for a mobile power thingamajiggy until relatively recently, because I don't know what, I think my phone might be getting a bit old and its battery is kind of wearing down. But you need extra little bits and pieces now to power your stuff as you're moving around. It's not just your phone, of course.
Yeah, when Jonathan said mobile thingamajiggy there, he did mean a power bank, just in case you don't all speak Jonathan. So
that's why you're here, isn't it? That's literally your job.
So yes, a power bank, a portable charging station. There's a brilliant one. It's £75, but it will charge your phone multiple times. So I know quite a few people are heading off to Glastonbury over the next few days. I'm super jealous. We have festivals coming up over the next little while. If you're someone like you, Jonathan, who travels quite a bit for work, the Mophi Power Station, it's the 10,000 milliamp version. It's £75. It's from Zag. It is excellent.
What can you plug into it? That's the key question.
Cables.
Could you put a plug into it?
What?
Could you put a 3-pin plug into it, or is it just USB?
No, you charge. I'm actually embarrassed. You charge it up. The whole point is that you don't have to plug it in. You bring it with you.
Yeah, but if I bring a small kettle with me, which I'm prone to do, could I plug the small kettle into it? Would that work?
If you could see the faces I'm getting through the window here in Marconi House, it won't charge you won't do your kettle. It'll look after your phone, your tablets. Just buy a cup of tea when you're out and about, okay? Thank you so much. Goodbye. I'm done. Well,
thank you for having killed me off, replicated my voice and embarrassed me over my travel kettle. Jess Kelly, News Talk Technology Correspondent. Thank you very much indeed.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.